Lord, thank you that we're gathered here in safety and comfort this morning to listen to your word. I pray that you would open our ears to hear what you want us to hear. Amen. I'm taking as my text the passage from 2 Thessalonians. So if you wish to follow as we go through, then reminded it was on page 222. But first, I'm going to start with an extract of an episode from 40 Towers. Apologies to those people among you who haven't got the foggiest idea what I'm talking about, but I will. It should make sense anyway. Excuse me, I just lost my place, but. I'll be with you in a minute. Right, so as some of you may know, Basil Fawlty, who's the hapless hotel keeper, he's been left in charge of the hotel for the day while his wife Sybil is in hospital having an operation on an ingrowing toenail. And she's left him the task piece of work of putting up on the wall a stuffed head of a moose. It makes sense if you watch the episode anyway. So here he is at the hotel desk. The phone rings. Yes? Fawlty Towers? Yes? Hello? I was just doing it, you silly woman. I just put it down to come here to be reminded by you what I'm already doing. I mean, what's the point of reminding me to do what I'm already doing? I mean, what's the point? I'm doing it, aren't I? Yes. Yes, I picked it up. Yes. No, I haven't had a chance yet. Been at it solidly since I got back. Yes, I will. Yes. No, I haven't, but I will. Yes. I know it is. Yes. I'll try and get it cleared up. Anything else? I mean, would you like me to move the hotel a little bit to the left? Yes. Oh, well, enjoy the operation, dear. Let's hope nothing goes wrong. So, well, it doesn't sound like Basil is getting his work-life balance right, does it? In fact, he sounds a bit fed up with the whole thing, his normal state of mind. So today I want to talk about work a bit. What is it? And how does what we do Monday to Saturday relate to or advance the kingdom of God, if at all? Or, like Basil, do we think work perhaps is a bit pointless, frustrating, or maybe of no value at all? So Paul was writing his two letters to the church in Thessalonica, which is modern-day Greece, and on the face of it has some harsh things to say about people who aren't working. Verse 6, we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, we gave you this command, anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. It does read something rather like something from the Victorian poor laws. And apparently, some people have even used this passage as an argument against the welfare state. However, it's clear that Paul's words are directed at those who could work but choose not to do so. So he refers to people as unwilling, rather than those who wanted to work but had no opportunity. And as always with a Bible passage, let's look at the context. So at the time of the early church, many believers thought that Jesus' return was imminent. And it seems here that some of the church members in Thessalonica were becoming idle as a result. I mean, if Jesus was about to return, you know, what's the point of working? And the modern day equivalent of that for us might be to say, well, if I've accepted Jesus as my Saviour, therefore I have the promise of eternal life, what more do I need to do during my time here on earth? I'll come every Sunday and worship at church because I enjoy that, but is that all I need to do? However, Paul makes it clear that none of us knows when Jesus will return. In the first letter to Thessalonians, he said, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." Matthew records Jesus as saying, "Keep awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming." By the way, I mean, that's relevant in the context of some cults that have sprung up over the years when the leader announces that he, usually seems to be a he, knows when the second coming is to occur. Give up all your possessions, stop working, you don't need money or your possessions anymore. Actually, just give them to me because I'll look after them for you. And we'll wait together for the rapture when we'll all be taken up into heaven. That's why in our gospel reading, Jesus says not to listen to those people who say, "I am he," or "the end is near." Do not go after them. And as we are in the so-called in-between times, i.e. God's kingdom has come to earth in the presence of Jesus, but has not yet been brought to fulfillment, we should, as commanded by Jesus, keep alert and be ready. Lots of examples of that in the Gospels. For example, there's the parable which refers to the servants of the house instructed to be ready for their master's return, or the one about the wise virgins having their lamps lit when the bridegroom returns, which all implies carry on working. And our passage today from Thessalonians does indeed imply that Christians should work. In verse 12, the idle ones Paul refers to are encouraged to do their work quietly and earn their own living, which is presumably what the other members of the church are doing. And in verse 7, Paul says, "We," that's him and his sort of fellow missionaries, "were not idle when we were with you. We did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, so that we might not be a burden to any of you. It's not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate." I think in the tradition of hospitality that prevailed at the time, they would have been entitled to receive their free board and lodging, but Paul and the others chose not to do so as an example. And we can read elsewhere in the New Testament that Paul continued his trade, which was a tent maker, notwithstanding his extensive missionary journeys and so on. So Paul talks about work, and let's explore what that might mean. In Genesis chapter 2, we read that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. That God wanted and wants humankind to play an active role in creation. And for most of us, that is, was or will be paid employment. Our paid employment or self-employment, that produces earnings, that produces taxation out of which others are helped through the welfare system, through the NHS, or the fixed percentage of our public spending that goes in international aid. And our work can be good in and of itself and for the benefit of others. That's most obviously in the caring, so-called caring professions, health service, teaching, and so on. But also in other work. I used to say jokingly that, or maybe half jokingly, that my office was run on something like 40 Towers principles. And Sue's nodding there. That's, you think, well, what value was there for the benefit of others or to advance the kingdom of God in doing conveyancing? I won't ask for any offers. However, having recently retired and looking back on my working life, I think I can see that at least some of what I was doing, even boring conveyancing, was in some way advancing the common good. And at a basic level, you know, by helping people move home, thereby improving their lives and opportunities, or in terms of other work, getting their affairs in order by making a will. Like a lot of us will find, however, that sometimes difficult to apply our Christian principles to dealings, and I certainly found that difficult with clients, and especially with some professional fellow professionals. Just an example of one episode that occurred. Was quite a few years ago now. I was acting for this family or couple who were trying to buy a house somewhere in England. They were moving back to the country from Canada, and they needed to get it through by a certain time because they wanted to get their children or child into a particular school. And if you didn't live in the area, then you had to prove that you'd at least exchange contracts to buy your property. Otherwise, you wouldn't get into the school. And the whole chain of transaction was held up and was going nowhere. I blame the solicitors myself. One day out of the blue, this lady, her name was Sarah, telephoned me. You can tell how long ago it was because she called from a phone box. And she said, "Oh, I really think we need to pray about this conveyancing transaction." So I was really taken aback. One, because I didn't realise, you know, how she knew I was a Christian, and then I realised, well, she'd seen my lapel badge. And secondly, are you allowed to pray about conveyancing? Anyway, we prayed about it, and the transaction went through, and over the years I've acted for them again when they moved on elsewhere and bought an investment property as well. And also, she became almost like a friend in that when I've done various things for the church, like gone Soma trips to Africa, for example, she's been on one of the intercessors. And when we retired, and my partner and I retired and sold the business, she said, "Oh, well, come." Her and her husband came over and had a coffee. As we were sitting down, she said, "Oh, I think we need to pray about, you know, the closure of a business and laying down those years of work and so on." And that was very thoughtful and prayerful. So just never know, you never know what sort of people you come across and what how those interactions work out. And work doesn't just mean paid work. Of course, there's lots of other activities we all take part in, whether it's caring for family, children or grandchildren, looking out for elderly parents or other relatives, looking after the home, or that vast array of voluntary effort that goes on, and much else, all of which serves the needs of family and community. And we know that ourselves here at St. Mary's, we can see from our giving of money or our time and talents as a contribution to God's kingdom in the here and now for the life and work of this church as we seek to do his will here in Hanwell. We all know the sort of things that go on. So I mentioned earlier that it seemed Basil Fawlty wasn't getting his work-life balance right. What about us? So back to verse 8 of the passage, Paul says, "With toil and labour we worked night and day." Maybe that was just hyperbole, but though I guess many of us have been in the position where we've been overworking to the detriment both of our health or the well-being of our families. And you know, I know from experience of one of our family members how that feels. Of course, for some, work is not a good place, often through the actions of others, whether it's bullying or unpleasantness or things like that. And there'll be some of us who are going through uncertainty or difficult times at work, or have done so in the past, or that will happen to many of us. We know there's no easy answer to that. Though being part of this church family, and I know from personal experience, means we have extra resources to call upon, namely the support and care of our fellow Christians and the power of prayer, which got me through a very difficult time at work a number of years ago. Work-life balance, Well, if we're looking at a pair of scales, that's normally applied to work on one side and sort of family or self on the other. It could be another set of scales, work on one side and church on the other. And can we all say we have that balance right? The early church, including the church in Thessalonica, all the other churches that Paul set up, they grew rapidly because of the way their people lived differently to those around them. So how does what we do make a difference in the here and now? And how does it advance the kingdom? So let's look at what we do day by day, Monday to Saturday, and be reassured and confident that what we do does make a difference, does advance God's kingdom. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, although we know that if we accept you into our lives, we are assured of our salvation, help us to be ready, willing, and able so as to play an active part in advancing God's kingdom in the here and now and for your church here in Hamel and beyond through our work, whatever form that may take. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. We're going to stay in that place of prayer because it's not often we get a chance to pray about the stuff we do Mondays to Saturday, and I think it's really important given what Mark's just shared. So, just encourage you, just stay in that, however you feel comfortable to pray. And actually, we'll just begin, and let's not get too hung up on the word work. It's in its breadth, as Mark said, but as we pray, Lord, I pray, just help us to bring the things that we find ourselves doing Monday to Saturday to mind, our work, the things we're doing, whether that's paid or voluntary or anywhere in between. And Lord, remind us to be doing what we're already doing. Lord, thank you that you've called us to be active in creation in so many different ways. And maybe you just want to lift up to God whatever it is you do and to pray for that space, whether it's something at home, whether it's something in a workplace. And we simply lift these places before you and pray. Help us to see how you're using us as your hands and feet in those places. So I was listening to Mark and kind of praying, there were a couple of things that really stood out, and I believe that some of us are called to be a more visible sign in our workplaces. That Mark had that conversation and that long relationship with that couple because he had a little fish badge on his lapel. So Lord, I want to pray, help us to be brave and bold to be known as Christians in our workplaces. Lord, help us to be a very visible sign of your kingdom to our colleagues and our friends. And I believe that there's folks here who have been called to pray for their workplace. Perhaps particularly to set up a group with other people at work who are Christians to pray for whatever it is that you guys all do together as work. So Lord, I pray that if that is anyone here, if people are being burdened to pray for their workplace, Lord, I pray that you would help that to come to pass. And I encourage you to come and grab me after the service. It's something I was involved in when I was in secular employment. I was just really mindful again as Mark was speaking that I think there was probably, I had the word change kept coming up. And I think for some of us here this morning, there'll be people who are in a season of change in that work kind of sphere of life. And that might be retirement, that could be just looking to move to something else. And again, I want to pray for you this morning if you find yourself in that place. Lord, we thank you that You are with us wherever we are, and Lord, we prayerfully ask for your wisdom and guidance for those contemplating change in their day-to-day working patterns. Lord, I pray for anyone who is weighing up retirement, that they would know that, they would hear those words of yours, well done, my good and faithful servant, that they would know that you are so pleased in the faithful service they've done, and that it's all right to step away. And Lord, I pray certainly for anyone who's in that place of uncertainty, where work is not stable, where change maybe needs to happen. Lord, again, we pray for your wisdom and your guidance. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And can I encourage you, if you've got whatever prayers of any nature that you need, but if there's stuff that has come out of this, from work stuff, that you would value somebody praying with you, then after you've had communion, please do head over to our prayer team in the corner. You know, as Mark said in his talk, there is something so valuable about being able to lean on one another and to be brought before God in prayer and those things. So please do take advantage of that. If you're able, please would you stand? We're going to declare our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.